In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. So I have two dogs, as probably I've mentioned before in some sermon at some point. And I have an older dog, about 14 years old, a yellow lab. And then I have a younger dog that's, well, a dog. My younger dog has a lot of energy. But he also has kind of this thing going on, which is on his back paw, he has two thumbs. And it's called, the condition is called polydactyl, which to me sounds like a dinosaur. But one of the things that happens with his thumbnails is that they grow really fast and they kind of curl in, so you got to keep them clipped or, you know, curl in and create a problem. Well, for a while, I was taking him to the vet. That just, you know, let them deal with it. Well, at some point, the vet came out and said, this dog is not sitting still for this. We're going to have to sedate him. I thought, okay, I don't want to have my dog sedated every, because you have to do this quite often. So I thought, okay, I don't have to have my dog sedated all the time. So, you know what? It's my dog. I can do this myself. So, get a friend. We're going to hold the dog down. Well, turns out he's a little houndini. So that didn't work. So then I go to the pet store and they give me something which is, I think, akin to a dog version of St. John's Wort. It's supposed to calm him down. And you know how well that worked? Not so well. Well, then I thought maybe I'll just make him really sleepy, so I gave him some Benadryl. Oh, no, you can totally do this. It's fine. But, you know, it did not make him sleepy. So then somebody said, well, have you tried a muzzle? Now, I wasn't a fan of this, but I tried it. And, you know, I couldn't even get the thing on him. So I'm really trying to figure out how I'm going to make this work. Because he is not happy with me touching his back paws. So after I tried... after I tried holding him down, drugging him, muzzling him, I then had another idea. I got a yummy doggy treat. And you know what? He sat and let me do it. Now, there's probably a life lesson. Sometimes gentleness is really the best answer. You know, when there is a temptation, when we are frustrated, to apply force to a situation. Now, that might work really well if you're doing physical labor. If you have to, like, you know, you're moving a wheelbarrow and it gets stuck in a little rut, give it a little extra oomph and it's going to get out of there. But that does not work with our relationships. In fact, it's true in all kinds of relationships. It doesn't work. In fact, the more we try to apply force in a relationship, what happens? People push back, don't they? Yeah, we meet more resistance. Well, Jesus tells us in today's gospel reading, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. Now, this is a pretty grim message because Jesus is talking about the ultimate sacrifice of a physical life. He's talking about his own life, actually. And this is a very extraordinary circumstance, but I think this idea of losing our life in a way, losing ourselves, can be applied to a lot of situations. On a much simpler level, we can apply this too to our relationships, whether those relationships are romantic relationships, friendships, business, or spiritual relationships, like in church. Now, if a relationship is truly a relationship, it's two-way, it's not a using sort of thing. And if it's that case, then it's really about giving up a part of ourself. It's that sacrifice. Relationship is about not acting always in selfish interests. It's about not reacting or not being driven by negative emotions, but acting sacrificially, acting softly, acting with gentleness and understanding. And this brings me to St. Paul's letter to the Romans, which we heard a part of today. Now, St. Paul tells this church in Rome, let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. And I love this. Outdo one another in showing honor. You know, that's a funny phrase. Outdo one another in showing honor. Because we live in a society that is marked by competition. Oh, all right. Competition isn't always a bad thing. Competition leads to innovation, progress, affordability. We've all studied economics at some point, or at least have a general sense of it. But competition permeates our society to a very deep level. And not just in business. I mean, how many of you here like playing games of some sort? And you generally probably like to win. Probably the single most popular pastime and one of the biggest industries in our society, sports. Even kids, we teach them from an early age. They go to, if they're not into sports, then we put them in spelling bees and debate club. These things where we're competing all the time. And the problem with competition, that drive to win at all cost, is that that drive can then permeate our psyches. And when we're dealing with things that aren't about winning, that sense of competition can be destructive. Because when we're dealing with relationships, relationships are not about competition. Relationships are not about who is the winner and who is the loser. It's not about who is right, who is wrong. Relationships are about understanding one another and supporting one another. Relationships are about trust and love. And as St. Paul says in this passage, if love is genuine, the only thing we should compete with one another is showing honor. But Paul says more about this. He says, because we want to be reactive, right? The natural reaction is always to have the knee jerk. But Paul says this. He says, bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Do not repay evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. And this is where we apply that concept of self-sacrifice. It's about losing ourselves, because our natural inclination is not this. Because it is so easy when we have a fight with a friend or a lover, we want to let our anger drive us. But that's not what Paul is saying here. St. Paul, and to add on to this, St. Paul is not just telling us this under normal, peaceful circumstances. He's not just saying this when things are normal. St. Paul is telling us this in a time and place when Christians were under great pressure from the outside world. They were under persecution. Now, can you imagine being told to return evil for good in a time of hardship? But they were still called to love those who would harm them. In fact, we're still called this. We are supposed to react not in kind to evil, but with good. Paul also says, beloved, never avenge yourselves. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. And I love this line. I love what he says about this. He says, "For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads." Now, isn't that a great image? You just imagine like a bucket. Yeah, kill them with kindness. But this goes so much against our impulses, because it's easy to cause someone distress and harm, but it is hard to show love. You know, in our recent rhetoric, and I know I've talked a lot about justice and injustice and those sorts of things, but I've been hearing a lot in our national rhetoric this idea about punching Nazis. Now look, I've talked ad nauseum about how I believe that racism and bigotry are among the worst sins. Those concepts destroy the fabric of our society. They distort God's perfection and distort creation. They are very destructive sins and horrible forces in our world, but nowhere in Jesus' teaching or the teachings of any of the greatest agents of change was violence ever the ultimate solution. Even the greatest of wars, the worst of wars, really, even those were won not by destroying every single person that was on the other side. Wars are truly ended with peace treaties, through diplomacy, calling for reconciliation. And this is where we are called as Christians, because ultimately we have to remember, as those who follow Christ, that we are called to live above our natural violent impulses. We are called to be better than our broken human nature. This is why St. Paul tells us, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." And this is not just to be applied in a time of distress, but it's also to be applied in times of peace. Because Paul says, "Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are." So even in good times, we are called to be humble. We are called to listen rather than command. We are called to seek the greater good and not just our own will. And again, we are called to love one another genuinely. To be a Christian is not just an identity marker. It's not just about wearing the cross around our neck. It's not just about showing up on Sunday morning, although I'm glad you're all here. It's not about saying you're a Christian or having the right bumper sticker on your car. To be a Christian is something to which we are called. And that is this: we are called to make a better world. And if we are going to make a better world, then we have to start by making better selves. Amen.